a sparse group, but I understand it was really sparse last week. What was it? I heard that it was about 60 here. So, is that 62? Is that what you're saying? Well, we'll discuss it later. And we're still sparse. People are still gone on trips and such. We should be back to our usual crowded self next week. And the same, another problem is, see, this is usually, there are a bunch of pretty girls up here. And now there are two pretty girls in the second, but it's usually filled with pretty young girls, and they're all gone. Where? Oh, over there in the third row. We let young ladies sit up, but you're sitting with mom and dad because you don't get to see them that much, right? That's good. I know. Mom and dad are happy to see you. I want to talk about the tongue today. And we'll finish this at 2:20 at least by then. I want to turn to Colossians 4:6. I don't have to tell you, because you know me well enough, that I grew up trying for the funny put downs, you know, saying things to people if they give you an opening and just drive an 18-wheeler through the opening of the put down. Colossians 4:6, though, has a verse that it says, "Let your speech always be with grace." Now, my speech was definitely not always with grace. My speech is still definitely not always with grace. At our youth camps, to which so many of the kids are gone right now, up at the winter camp up in Wisconsin, and we have a rule at our youth camps, and the rule is that you're in the zone. What that means is there cannot be any put downs. I mean, you can't joke about how somebody did something. It's a whole week, or a little over a week, or yeah, I guess it is a week. It's a week with no put downs because you're in the zone. And it's very difficult. I mean, you've got to always say something supportive. Even if it's somebody on the other team, if you're playing team sports, you cannot do put-downs because you're in the zone. Your speech has to always be with grace. And you know, it's difficult. Every now and then, you'll hear somebody at camp say, "Ho, ho, ho, was what you just said in the zone?" Now, what we mean is the kingdom of God. Is that the kingdom of God's zone? Did you say something that would be in the kingdom of God? And here he says that we're always to let it be with grace and have our speech have beauty in it. You know, we have physical grace, and that is where someone is very coordinated. They walk gracefully. They run gracefully. Of course, the put down is when somebody trips and falls, you say, "Be careful, Grace," because they weren't graceful in that. And then there is some people learn to speak gracefully. You know, they've just been brought up to have manners. They know what to say, when to say, and of course, God is filled with grace. But He wants our speech to be with grace, to learn manners and to speak very nice. because I tended to be such a tease, my kids tend to be teases, and I got to thinking about it, they hardly ever say anything nice to each other. And I would say something nice to them. I would always speak nice about their mother and to their mother. But they tended to be to go on the bad side of their father. You know, they took up his bad traits. They're saying, well, you know, in them they would say right now, just to show the kind of response they learned from me, they'd say, well, Dad, we're still looking for your good side. And they would have learned that to say something like that from me. Then it says, seasoned with salt. And what that means there is it's tasty. I happen to like salt. I'm one of those who likes a lot of salt. It doesn't seem to bother my blood pressure. And I drink a lot of water. I try to. It helps me to drink water. So it doesn't bother it. But it adds taste. And I'm the kind of person who will salt my steak and then come back and salt it again and eat a little more and then salt it a little more. And get a lot of salt. How many of you are saltaholics like me? My daughter Melissa is—they're attending over in Murfreesboro today, so she is a saltaholic also. And I didn't see if Lucretia raised. Did you raise your hand? You're not a saltaholic. You did? Oh, just like this, my gentle little wife thing. She tends to like salt also. So it means tasty. And I want you to think about this. There are some people that are in this room that we would tend to say that person always speaks gently, nicely, encouraging, uplifting. Aren't there people like that here? Of course there are. There are people like that here. And then there's me, and then there's some of you that we're trying to learn to speak nicely and not just be, you know, I enjoy put downs. I enjoy when people say something for the put down for me. I just think, all right, that was really good. You know, when I used to be so skinny, a friend used to say, Fred has to keep moving around in the shower to get wet. And I weighed 133 pounds when I graduated from college. So, and I'm still somewhat thin. But I always thought that was funny to have them say that, you know. Some people don't like that, but I did. But still, we need to also be nice. Or maybe mostly nice, or maybe always. Say things that are positive and uplifting and that are pleasant. And it says that you may know how you ought to answer each one in speaking. Now there are times when you'd like to say something really nasty to a really nasty person. Someone who's putting you down or putting God down or the truth or the Sabbath or the holy days or making fun of you, calling you, you're just old covenant or Old Testament, which is, of course, we're old and new, and Testament. But you might like to just say, well, you know, I may obey some things in the Old Testament, just like Jesus did, and happily I'm not a pagan like you. Well, you know, that's not the way to win people over, and I don't think any of you would do that. But we might be tempted on some occasion. So it's learning to speak sweetly. Let's turn to James. He has a lot to say about using our tongue correctly. Book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. We have some new folks here. We're glad to have them. Is the name, is it Hurt? Okay, John Hurt and his three sons who are here. And I was quick to point out that that's not our Christmas tree out there. That's, somebody asked me, said, when are you going to take down your manger scene? So, tell them that's too much trouble. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. I was in chapter 2. Let me go back to chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Sounds like you could sit around all day and say nothing, doesn't it? If you had two people who were doing this. But it's nice to have some things to say. Some people tend to be very quiet. I married a girl who was very quiet. And she will actually talk to me now more than she'll come in to tell me something she saw on TV or something that she read. And I think it's because I actually take time that I will listen to her now. Maybe that's the reason that that she will talk more. But she certainly is one who does this. She has more. She's more swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we should all be that way. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. It's always good to stop and think, who's dominating the conversation? Is it I? Or since I'm in Tennessee, I could say, is it me? They use predicate nominative of those northern people. But is it me, I could say here. I have stopped and thought occasionally, you know, I seem to be talking more than usual. Now, you're used to hearing me a lot because I'm standing up here giving sermons. I try not to be the one dominating the conversation, but some people tend to dominate the conversation. Most people don't like to be around somebody who dominates the conversation. A relative of mine, we were out with someone who's very talkative, and she didn't like it because that person talked all the time, and we knew why. It's because she liked to talk all the time, and she couldn't talk while this other person was even more talkative than she was. So most of us like somebody who will listen to us, not somebody who just talks to us all the time. So there needs to be a balance in there. We need to be willing to listen more than just talk. James chapter 1 verse 26. That's part of being pleasant, is listening. And having our... By the way, my title for this is Let Our Speech Be Sweet. Let Our Speech Be Sweet. But here in James 1, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Horses, great big horse, I used to ride horses when I was young. Loved to ride horses. And I've got some grandchildren who love to ride horses. But it's just amazing how this... You can get this big horse and put this thing in its mouth. And it just... You can turn it. You can be running along, loping along, galloping along, and just pull it a little ways this way or that way, and the horse will just turn for you so nicely. Our tongue is not so easy to bridle, is it? How many times have we said, all of us, everybody here, why did I say that? And I'll open mouth, insert foot, and we've all done it. Aren't there things in your life that you say to yourself, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. And you look back and you feel so bad. You know, for me, most of the things that I look back on with regret are things that I said that I wish I had never said. And I would dare say that perhaps a lot of you feel the same way. That there are things you've said, oh, have you ever thought, I wish I could go back and relive my life? I usually think that when I think of something I said or didn't say and should have said, wish I had said. Now, sometimes it's too late. You know, my parents lived long enough that I've learned to appreciate them. You know, when you have children and then teenagers and then such, you begin to appreciate your own parents more. And I appreciated them enough that I told them I loved them and how much I appreciated them. But I never really got the chance to tell my grandmother. And I'd just like to go back and tell her how wonderful she is. Grandma, you are so wonderful. And we can do that now and not miss out on telling people. You know, people who have lost someone, suddenly, unexpectedly, one of the first things that they will tell you is, tell somebody you love them every day. Don't let a day go by without telling them that you love them. That's very important. James 3, verses 1 through 12. James 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. So, we're being asked to be perfect. Well, we're supposed to try to be perfect in everything. So it's not wrong to ask us to be perfect. God knows that we may fail, that we may end up not perfect. But He wants us to strive to be perfect. And perhaps the hardest thing to be perfect in, according to what He says right here in the book of James, is with our tongue. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle. Brings back the bridle again. Bridle the whole body. Because that seems to be the hardest thing to control is our tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Well, I can see that my computer here, I was doing the King James, so let me get back over in my Bible. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And it is just something that is said can cause such trouble. We were discussing something that went out, my wife discussing something that went out on the internet and is apparently on various websites, something that, you know, you probably wouldn't want out. And I told her, there's the thing. If you don't want it on a website, don't send it as an email. Now, it isn't that sending snail mail guarantees it won't go on a website. But it's just that if you send it on the internet, it's just so easy for someone to hit forward. You know, there are very few people that I will send something that I'm, you know, to the long distance. You know, if there's somebody here that I want to talk to, I'll call you or see you. But if there's somebody across country and I send an email, there are very few people that I would trust that they would hold it there. You know, they may be fine people, but, you know, if I say confidential, there's some people I know will keep it confidential. But as soon as you hit send, you no longer have control over what it was. And you don't put anything, don't ever do send if it's something you would surely, absolutely, and definitely not ever want on a website. And the same thing is true with what you say, with what we say. Once we say it, it can go out forever. I hear of things that I said years and years and years and years ago. And sometimes they're taken out of context. Down at the feast in Big Sandy, Texas, years and years and years ago, there were a lot of people from Houston there at the feast. And I don't know, we must have had, 10,000 people there? 7 to 10, I don't know. But anyway, a lot of people from Houston were there. And they were talking to me, they talked to me about Houston. And I was living in Little Rock, Arkansas at the time. So anyway, this just shows you. I had a lot of people from Houston coming up and say, "Oh, Houston is so huge. You know, we have such problems with dirt, and oh, the crime is so bad, and the traffic is horrible." I've never been to Houston, but they just—it was almost like, you know, our city's worse than your city, and I really feel that it truly was worse than Little Rock. So I stood up and said, "Brethren, I've had so many of you from Houston tell me how big, how dirty, how much crime there is, the corruption in the police. You know, if Pasadena headquarters ever calls me and says, 'Fred, go to H,' I'm going to hope that they mean hell." And I have heard that from people from Houston. They've said, you know, I didn't put down Houston, in a sense. They kept telling me how bad. Matter of fact, one man came and talked to me about that, and I said, "Well, let me tell you exactly what happened. It was people from Houston telling me how bad it was." He said, "Oh, okay, now it makes sense." But that just goes on forever and ever. It won't go on from here. It's already out. Just shows you how one little statement can go on and on. But then he goes on, and he, you know, "How great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body," just everything, "and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by," and the word here in the Greek is Gehenna. Gehenna fire. That valley of the sons of Hinnom where they burned the garbage outside Jerusalem. Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue." That's quite a thought. No man can tame the tongue. You and I, on our own, cannot contain the tongue. Now, there's a way to contain it. And we're going to look at a verse in the Psalms. One that I have to read to God every now and then, on my knees. I'll take it out and read it to Him. There is a way. But no man can tame the tongue. That's the clue. "It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." We need to have a tongue of blessing. And there are many of you who are, if you're not perfect, It just seems to me you're pretty close. But then there are others of us who are really working on it still, aren't we? Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring can yield both salt water and fresh, and our mouths should be blessing. You know, we have the gospel. What is the gospel? We have difficulty with preaching the gospel, trying to get a balance, because the Bible clearly says to shout forth and tell people their sins. So that's one thing. On the other hand, it's called the gospel, which means good news. Sometimes you have to bring up the bad news of today's world in order to show the good news of the kingdom of God. So that's where we will sometimes start. I know that one time the broadcast years ago was started with the good news is that today's news is all bad. And the point was that eventually it's going to have to get really bad at the time Jesus returns, because he prophesied how bad it would be. And even worse, where it's going to be worse than any time that has ever been. So we do have to have that, but still it has to be good news. The eventual message is good news of the kingdom of God. I do want to go to the Psalms. And the psalm that I was talking about was 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, and verse 3. I'll try to remember to say something, a paraphrase of this. I try to say every day. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. See, if man cannot control his mouth, and women too, then we need a guard. That's what he's saying, is I can't do it. This is David. This is a psalm of David. He's basically saying, I can't do it. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Then he goes on to his heart, because it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works. You know, it's just so easy to not lie, but to say something that misleads. Oh, that was the truth? Yeah, but it led someone to believe not what, you know, is the truth. And that's easy. That's clever. But we need God to let our hearts be true and our lips be true and kind and sweet. Then in Psalm 50, verses 20 through 23. Here is how God feels about us talking about our brothers and sisters being negative. It's just so easy to do. Say, well, it was true. Oh, wait. There are a lot of things that are true that don't need to be said. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will reprove you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Now there's something positive to do with our lips, our tongue. To him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. And I'd like to go through a few Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 18. A lot of Proverbs about speaking sweetly. Here is the contrast. Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. We've all seen that. They just find a way to put down. Look for the fault. If you look for fault, you'll find it. Everybody has it. I'm not saying there isn't a time to go to somebody as a brother or sister and talk to them in love. But this is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. It's gentle. It's kind. It may tell the truth, but does it in a kind and gentle way. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You think about this, men who are married. Go to your wife and be angry about something. What are you going to get back? You know what you're going to get back. Well, it may not be with every lady, but generally somebody comes to somebody angry, they get anger back, don't they? That anger begets anger. And the same way, ladies, you come to your husband, you're angry. Anger begets anger. And it shouldn't. We should be resistant to it. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If somebody comes to you angry, to speak back to them with anger just stirs up. And pretty soon, you know, you interrupt that person, then they interrupt you, and they're not listening to you, and people, the voices get higher and higher and higher, because you're not listening to me! And the decibels just keep going up. The best thing to do is just listen. And then speak softly. If there's something you can apologize for, do it. Start off with that. That's difficult to do, I know. But that's the best. That's the godly. That's the better way. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 27 and 28. An ungodly man digs up evil. That's what I'm saying. You look for fault, you'll find it. Everybody's got fault. There are times, as I said, when we need to go to a brother or a sister and try to help them. But you know, helping them is not going to be going angry. That's not going to help. An ungodly man digs up evil. There are some shows and radio shows that apparently that's their specialty. There are people who are liberal. There are people who are conservative. They're just looking for fault. It seems like the political parties just spend their time looking for fault in the other ones. If if somebody starts to run for office, first thing they do is appoint the other candidates, appoint a team to just sift through everything that person has done, looking for evil. Boy, what a way to spend your life, looking for evil, looking for fault. But that's exactly what happens. And then it is on his lips like a burning fire. Doesn't hold it. Yeah, the Republicans did this. The Democrats did this. My opponent did this. It's very rare somebody will say, you know what, my opponent is a decent man, but I just happen to be more decent. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Separates the best of friends. Okay. Enough time to go to the final verse. Proverbs 16, verse 23 and 24. Proverbs 16, verse 23 and 24. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Sadly, the heart of the fool teaches his mouth also. But if we're wise, it should be teaching us sweetness. And adds learning to his lips. Now, that Hebrew word is a broad word. And let me... The Revised Standard Version has... And adds persuasiveness to his lips. That is, gentleness, kindness adds persuasiveness to his lips. Verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I'll read that verse one more time. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones.